Good evening, everyone. I just want to start by saying a big thank you to all of you for the way you have received myself and Loredana. And I just want to say that it's a great joy to worship with you for nearly a year soon. I think actually this month it's about a year since I first came and joined you for a morning service. So it's great really to be among you. I thank you for your love and for your compassion, for your prayers, for your support. It's great to be part of Lansing Tabernacle Church family. Also, I just want to say thank you to Pastor John for allowing me to share with you tonight, and to the leadership team who have, enabled me to be able to share with you the Word of God tonight. It's a great privilege for me. I have to say, since I moved to England, I didn't really speak a lot. I didn't preach a lot. And every time I've done it, I thought that God has taken away this gift from me. But we'll see what God is going to do from today on. I'm just going to start. Let's read the scripture before we do anything else. Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me, he is my helper. I will look in triumph of my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swam around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live. I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous might enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, greatest success. Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. He bounds with bounds in hand, joined in a festal procession, up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. This is the word of God. I entitled my message tonight, His Love Endures Forever. You have seen along in this psalm, these words are repeated again and again. And I do pray that at the end of the evening, God's love will be more real for each one of us than ever before. I'm just going to give you an example, a personal experience about singing. When I was a child in our neighborhood, we lived on the top of a hill. We had our neighbors who were mostly farmers. And we had this man who was living two houses down the road. And he was a big man, very strong. He had the voice of a baritone. Every summer morning, 8 o'clock, you could hear him coming out of his courtyard singing praise to the Lord. And as a child, I don't know, maybe I was 6 or 7 years old, I would hear this man. Sometimes I was scared because his voice was so strong, he didn't need a microphone, really. And I could hear him singing praise to the Lord, just to understand that his love was so great for the Lord, he didn't care about the communists who said, you can't read the word, you can't sing to the Lord in public. He did it, and it was in a communist Romania, 1980s. A great example. And I was thinking that singing is not just something that we do in church every Sunday. It's more than that. And this is why the sermon tonight, the message tonight, is based on chapter 2 from the book Sing. The chapter is entitled Commanded to Sing. Commanded to sing not because we must, but because we have that willingness and that burning desire in our hearts to praise our Lord and King. Why I've chosen Psalm 118? Well, I shared with the pastor that when I read that chapter 2 from a book Sing, I thought of that evening when Jesus reclined at the table with his disciples, and they had the Passover meal, and they broke the bread, and they had the wine. And at the end, we are told, there's a little verse there, verse 13, chapter 26 in Matthew, that says, they sang the hymn, and then they went out on the Mount of Olives. I've read that passage hundreds of times, never thought about it. I didn't question why or what was the song. And when I read that chapter, I thought, what was the song that they sang that night? And I went back and did a bit of a research, and I found out that actually it's a collection of songs. And the last song that they had sang that night was Psalm 118. In the Jewish tradition, the liturgy of the Passover meal will comprise psalms from 113 up to 118. They will start by sharing together two cups of wine that will go around, and everyone will have from those cups. And then they will start singing Psalm 113 and Psalm 114. No, they were not drunk, because there was not much wine there. Anyway, they will sing those psalms, and then they will go closer to the roasted lamb, and they will break the unleavened bread and share it among themselves and eat that together as a remembrance of what God has done for them, taking them out of Egypt. And then they will have two more cups of wine that they will share again among themselves, and they will start singing the final hymns from Psalm 115 up towards 118. And that was the liturgy at a Passover meal. I've chosen this psalm because we are called to sing to the Lord with all our hearts in any time. The first question that I'm going to ask ourselves, and we're going to ask ourselves tonight, is where do we sing? Tonight we had a great service of worship. Thank you, Peter, for leading us in this time of worship. And we are called to sing here in the sanctuary where the people of God are gathering. Let's read verse 2 of Psalm 118. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. You see, the temple was constructed in a way that will allow the priests to be closer to the holiest holies, and they were in a holy place, and then Israel outside in the next court, and then the nations outside in the outer court. And here we look at these three verses, and we can see that the priests were in the middle, closer to the sanctuary, and then Israel, and those who feared the Lord were outside. But you see, exactly what happens in the new covenant is that we all are free to go inside. Actually, one of the verses later on in Psalm 18, it said that open the gates for the righteous to enter. There will be no stop. There will be no courts to enter through. Israel came into the temple to worship the Lord. Israel came to the house of the Lord to praise the Holy One, the one who has saved them, the one who is their God. I always say, when I hear people talking about people who were Christian once or have a weak faith, I always say, as long as people continue to come in the house of the Lord, there's still hope that they will hear the word that transforms and they will be able to praise the King of Kings. In Psalm 73, and there's another psalm that came into my mind, I see the author, Asaph, troubling himself. He said, "My foot nearly slipped away, and I was troubled in myself because I looked at the evil one, and all things were going well for them. And for me, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, I was struggling. I was struggling with health problems. I was struggling with finances. I've had problems in my family, in my workplace. And I'm looking at the evil, and there is no trouble for the evil one. And is this fair?" The psalmist asks. But he says, "Came the time when I came in the sanctuary," verse 16, "till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood the final destiny." What is it in the sanctuary that makes us have the real vision of what God does in us? Is the word that brings the truth of God, and is the singing, is the worship through which we express our love to God, through which actually we know the love of God. You see, His love endures forever. Each one of us here can testify of a moment in our lives when we have known the love of God that was very, very real. Today, the love of God is very, very real for each one of us. Secondly, we worship, we sing in private. If we think of this image of Jesus in the upper room with his disciples reclining at the table, it was a private gathering. It was a time where he and his disciples and those who were with them were celebrating the Passover meal. And they were together there because they want to have that close fellowship. You see, we worship in private and we sing in private because it's a testimony to those around us, to those intimate, close to us. I was thinking when I read that actually Psalm 118 was scholars believe that it's been written 900 years before Jesus Christ. Some believe that it's been written after the exile in Babylon. However, imagine people, generation after generation, year in and year out, families together singing this hymn at the Passover meal. In a way, this psalm is a prophetic psalm. It shows towards Jesus. And I'm thinking of that intimate place where Jesus was there with his disciple, celebrating the Passover and singing this hymn. And they sing exactly about him who is going to fulfill what the psalm says in the next few hours. Just a few hours later on, one of the verses in Psalm 18 verse 27 talks about the sacrifice animal that was bounded and taken to the horns of the altar. And we look at Jesus and we can see and we can hear the shout of John the Baptist in the desert of Judea, who says, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And just a few hours after they sing Psalm 118, those words will be fulfilled in him, in Jesus. So it is important that we sing in our private meetings, even if we are together with our families, if we are in a home group environment. It is important that even there we bring the testimony of who Jesus is and of his love. Next, I'm going to refer to what do we sing. I'm just going to read from verse 5 onwards. "In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper." You see, tonight we heard of a difficult situation. We heard of a family who's lost their sons. Who would ever want or dream to be in that situation? And it shocks us and it humbles our hearts because we can see how privileged we are that we are still here and God is sustaining us. But would we sing in those moments? Would we recognize that God's love is still real for us in those moments? What shall we sing? a saying of his love showed to us in difficult times. Psalmist talks about, I cried to the Lord in my anguish. And Jesus will, just a few hours later on, after he sings this song, will be in that anguish. We are told in the gospel that when he prayed in a way that even his sweat changed into drops of blood. Then we are called to sing for his freedom that we have in him. He's called us to be free. Sing of his generosity, sing of his protection, sing of his steadfast love, sing of his victories that we have in him, sing of his salvation. One of the verses says here, he has become my salvation. What a great God we have. He is indeed a very great God. Then in verse 10, we have verse 10 to verse 12, there are three very strange verses. We kind of look at them and we think, what is the place of those verses in this psalm? And the verses say, all the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. It's very strange verses. But then I thought, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, there was a victory. But comes a day, but there will be the final victory, when all those who were against him will actually, what in a little word says here, the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I'll cut them off. All those who have not obeyed and did not bow their knees before him, there will come a day of judgment. And the final victory, then will be the final victory. And we will see what Jesus has done. Sing of him who is our Savior. Sing, because his love endures forever. The first thing that I want to bring tonight is, how should we sing? Now, the first thing that could come in our minds will be, well, shall we choose modern worship songs, or shall we be more traditional? Shall we get hip-hop, Christian hip-hop? Or maybe not. I don't think we will discuss about the type of music we will have to sing, but I think I'm going to refer to the way we sing. What is our heart desire? It is more about singing, the attitude of our hearts, the reason behind singing. Let's read together verse 15. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. You see, there are many, many reasons that we can find to sing with joyful songs to the Lord. Even if our hearts bring us down, when we feel depressed and we feel low and we feel without hope and we cannot see the light at the end of the channel, the tunnel, there is hope. How is it when Brighton & Hove plays? When they get beaten up, people don't really sing. But when they manage to get a goal in, everyone is up and shouting. That is real joy. It's like, you know, it's very interesting. A few years back, I've seen this short video clip with images from the end of the war. And they were on the streets of New York, and you see people coming out of the buildings on the street, and soldiers, and they were cheering, and people just got to embrace each other, to kiss each other, and say, yes, there is an end to the war, victory. I think that should be the attitude of our hearts when we come and sing to the Lord. There is victory, even if things that we can see with our eyes are not really showing anything. There is a victory, a final victory. There is hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. Shout in your singing, knowing that the love, his love, endures forever. And then the last thing that I want to refer to tonight is we sing because we have a singing Savior. And I'm going to come back to that image of Jesus in an upper room, Jesus with his disciples, Jesus reclining on the table. They sing the hymns, they share the bread. And he, who is the image of the sacrificed lamb, fulfills the words that God speaks for the person that wrote Psalm 118. Scholars say no one knows who wrote this psalm. However, the psalm talks about someone who's been the stone that the builders have rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this and is marvelous in his eyes. He is there. He is the one who soon is going to be thrown away by the wise men of the moment, the people who thought that they have the keys of heaven and hell, the people who thought that we can control who God loves and who can't, the people who thought, well, we have the power. He's going to be thrown out because we're going to be done with you. But he who was thrown out is going to be put at the head of the building of the new temple. Temple made not of stones chiseled in a quarry somewhere out of the city, but temple made of people, living stones, temple made of me and you who believe in him. So singing is being like Jesus. It's very interesting to think that someone who knows that in a few hours will go through that horrific capturing and then trial and then crucifixion. It's strange to think that a person could sing and sing about the things that is going to happen to him just a few hours down the road. Sing about the rejected stone, about Jesus who has become the capstone. Sing about the days of rejoicing that are about to start with him and in him. Sing about the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Sing about the Lord who saves. The Lord is God and he made his light shine upon us. We heard earlier on the song and it was talking about the light of God who shines upon our children. We all want that. We all want that the light of God will shine upon our children. But he does that through Jesus. Sing about the Lord who saves. The Lord, yes, he is the God. Sing about the lamp of God taken out, sacrificed on that cross on the Mount of Calvary. For each one of us, sing about his great love. There is no greater love than Jesus' love. And that's available to each one of us. You see, sometimes we might see love as being something very romantic, lots of hearts and bunches of flowers and cheers and all that. Love is more than that. Love is sacrificing. Love is giving. And God has done exactly that for us. I'm going to tell you a personal experience. I couldn't sing. I was a teenager. I could never sing. If you ask me to sing it, well, I would usually say, if I start singing, a storm will come down. And when I was 15, so it happened that someone has testified about Jesus' great love for me. And that verse from John 3:16 was a central verse to me that day. And I decided to give my life to the Lord. And there were, I felt many changes happening in my life. But one of the most obvious things I've experienced, and it was so obvious to everyone around me, suddenly I found my voice. I could finally sing. I'm not going to do a solo, I can assure you about that. But I can sing in a church. I could sing. I could feel that the song wasn't just a lips service, a lips moving and mimicking words. It was something that came from inside. It was the love of God who was in me. I'm just going to close tonight with some words wrote by Dr. Micha Jazz on the 15th of January 2018 on Premier Radio. He says, like the Magi, I arrive, I kneel, I worship. There is nothing else I can do when I encounter God. My gaze is captivated by God, my prayer, an expression of love, amazement, and praise for the Lord of all creation. That is the desire of my heart, and I hope that that will be your desire as well. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen.